Recorded Books presents an unabridged recording of Nonviolence, 25 Lessons from the History of a Dangerous Idea by Mark Kurlansky, narrated by Richard Dreyfuss and directed by Jenny Selig. This book is copyrighted 2006 by Mark Kurlansky. This recording is copyrighted 2006 by Recorded Books. This book opens with a foreword by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. I have worked to promote peace and nonviolence for many years because I believe that ultimately it is only through kindness and nonviolence that we human beings can create a more tranquil and happy atmosphere that will allow us to live in harmony and peace. Therefore, I am happy to see that Mark Kurlansky has wholeheartedly taken up these themes in this book. I consider the cultivation of nonviolence and compassion as part of my daily practice. I do not think of it as something that is holy or sacred, but as of practical benefit to myself. It gives me satisfaction. It gives me a sense of peace that is very helpful in maintaining sincere, genuine relationships with other people. Mahatma Gandhi took up the ancient but powerful idea of ahimsa, or nonviolence, and made it familiar throughout the world. Martin Luther King Jr. followed in his footsteps. The author is correct to point out that both men were regarded with suspicion by the authorities they opposed, but ultimately both achieved far-reaching and significant changes in the societies in which they lived. I think it is important to acknowledge here that nonviolence does not mean the mere absence of violence. It is something more positive, more meaningful than that. The true expression of nonviolence is compassion, which is not just a passive emotional response, but a rational stimulus to action. To experience genuine compassion is to develop a feeling of closeness to others combined with a sense of responsibility for their welfare. This develops when we accept that other people are just like ourselves in wanting happiness and not wanting suffering. It is my firm belief that if we adopt the right approach and make determined efforts, even in circumstances where great hostility has come about over time, trust and understanding can be restored. This is the approach I too have adopted with regard to the Chinese authorities concerning the issue of Tibet. Responding to violence with more violence is rarely appropriate. However, discussing nonviolence when things are going smoothly does not carry much weight. It is precisely when things become really difficult, urgent, and critical that we should think and act with nonviolence. Mahatma Gandhi's great achievement was to revive and implement the ancient Indian concept of nonviolence in modern times, not only in politics, but also in day-to-day life. Another important aspect of his legacy is that he won independence for India simply by telling the truth. His practice of nonviolence depended wholly on the power of truth. The recent unprecedented fall of oppressive regimes in several parts of the world has demonstrated once more that even decades of repression cannot crush people's determination to live in freedom and dignity. It is my hope and prayer that this book should not only attract attention, but have a profound effect on those who read it. A sign of success would be that whenever conflicts and disagreements arise, our first reaction would be to ask ourselves how we can solve them through dialogue and discussion, rather than through force. And now, Nonviolence.
From the writings of Mudzu, China, circa 470 to 391 B.C. To kill one man is to be guilty of a capital crime. To kill 10 men is to increase the guilt tenfold. To kill 100 men is to increase it 100-fold. This the rulers of the earth all recognize. And yet when it comes to the greatest crime, waging war on another state, they praise it. It is clear they do not know it is wrong, for they record such deeds to be handed down to posterity. If they knew they were wrong, why should they wish to record them and have them handed down to posterity?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?